It is Bronze and Modern Gods. I'm John, and that guy right there is Richard.
Hi. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. Happy almost new year.
I know. It's almost 2022.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the 2021 year in review, our favorite books, events, and more over the past year with our special guest, Steven from Minor Keys Comics. He's going to join us a little later on. But first, if you're not following us on Facebook and Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods, please do so. Like the video, subscribe, hit the notification bell. You know how to do it. And also, leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. But first, Richard, before we get started with anything, I think we are overdue for a live sale. What do you think?
Sure, let's do it.
This coming Friday, New Year's Eve, come kick 2021 to the curb with us, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Bronze and Modern Gods Instagram account. Again, that is at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, this Friday, New Year's Eve, at Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram.
You have a way of just turning a phrase. That's great. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Yeah, we're going to have fun saying goodbye to this year and hopefully bring in a good 2022.
Yeah, let's put 2021 on the funeral pyre and shove it out to sea aflame like a Viking. All right, speaking of aflame, it's time for our hot book of the week. Did you like that?
That was good. That was good.
What is it?
Our hot book this week is America Number One, The Second Print.
Ooh, this is the second print that features a gold logo with America Chavez confirmed for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. This character is heating up. Another fire reference there. I actually saw an action figure for America Chavez today online.
Yep.
Raw copies of the second print of America Number One are fetching $65 to $85 on eBay. Now, make sure this is the first America Number One, because there was another America Number One this year. This is the original one. There's not a lot of slab copies of this second print floating around that have made the market yet. Meanwhile, don't forget about America Number 12. What is America Number 12, you may ask? This was the last issue of the first series, and, you know, there was a reason it was canceled. No one was ordering it or buying it. So there are just over 6,300 copies of America Number 12 out there. Richard, you saw a 9.8 sale on eBay.
Yeah, there's a 9.8 sale for $158 on this Sunday. It's this series, I think, has really just been undervalued. People really didn't associate this series with a character that potentially had any long-term sustainability. Well, that's been proven wrong.
You know, surprise!
We're seeing her in Multiverse of Madness, and I'm sure that's not going to be the only Marvel property she's going to be in. So there's a whole new slew of Marvel young heroes coming. I think Kate Bishop was the first one of this generation. We're going to have America Chavez. We're going to have Ms. Marvel. I'm hoping we're going to have Miles Morales. We'll see. It's going to be a really interesting next couple of years.
Now, meanwhile, while you're specking on America Chavez, don't forget about Marvel Now 0.1 2012. These titles, I mean, okay, that's the best you can type in right there. If you're going to eBay, type in Marvel Now 0.1 2012 to see the right book. This is her first cover appearance, and this book is going for about $25 to $40 raw right now. And Richard, you have a story about
this. Yeah. for like 6 months, I had an opportunity to buy this book for 10 copies for $5 a piece. And it's like, you know, the other Marvel point ones, you know, one of them is the first appearance of Ms. Marvel. The other one is the first appearance of Sam Alexander as Nova. Mm-hmm. And then there's this one. Just like everybody else, I didn't really see, Chavez as a strong spec. Little did I know, wait 6 months or a year, and things could turn around in the MCU.
That's the thing about all three of these books: America Number One, Second Print, Number 12, and this Marvel Now 0.1 2012. I think they're still out there. I think they're still in long boxes. I think there's still an opportunity for you to waltz into an LCS and be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, if you're not following what's going on in the movies, MCU, especially the future movies, you probably aren't looking for these books. And I'm sure there's a lot of LCSs that just aren't aware of this. And you can bring that book up to the counter and get yourself a real bargain.
You can bring them up to the counter and ask the dealer to please look it up on eBay for you. The right price, right?
Oh, boy, let's not go there.
Speaking of older episodes this year, that was a classic. It's time for 2021 in review. Like it or not, I think most of us like it. 2021 is in the rearview mirror now. We've got the pedal pressed all the way to the floor. Get away from it. We're looking forward to 2022. So before we turn the page to a new year, let's review our favorite moments, predictions we made that worked out, some that didn't, our favorite comic book pickups along the way. And joining us for this misty watercolor memory walk, how's that?
That's good. Let's go with it.
Our friend, Steven from Minor Keys Comics, someone who's been a friend of the show since almost the very beginning. We're lucky to have him, and we're really pleased he's going to join us today. And here he is now. Everybody, give a warm welcome to our friend, Steven from Minor Keys Comics on Instagram.
Hey, up, Steven.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you all.
Been too long. We got to have you on more often.
It's been at least, what? A year? No, I don't know.
Oh, it's been that long.
Here, let me go through the archives right now. Everybody hold, please.
time makes no sense anymore.
I know. It's like I've been home for 3 years, I feel like. So.
Wow.
But 2022 is here. Let's look back. There was a lot of good things. There was a lot of good things. My English am good. There were a lot of good things in 2021, like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, there were some good things. And we're going to cover them now, starting with category number one, best cover. Richard, what was your favorite cover in
2021? This was a really, really easy one for me. My favorite cover by far was Wonder Woman Black and Gold number one, the Warren Lu variant cover. Absolutely gorgeous. Easily my favorite Good Girl art cover in the modern era. This thing is just spectacular. The emotion she shows on her face and the photorealism that Warren managed to get out of this. It is just totally amazing.
Steven?
I'm going to have to do the exact same thing. When you talk about the best cover of the year, when we're talking about this on Bronze and Modern Gods in 10 years, I might talk about the best cover of the decade, and it might still be this one. When I first heard you guys talking about it, I heard Richard talking about it and talking about the look on her face. I'm like, come on, like he's exaggerating. There's no way. And then I looked it up and I said, oh, absolutely. Bought multiple copies, and I'm not even selling them. I just want to have multiple copies of them. So yeah, for me, it's the exact same thing. Wonder Woman, Black and Gold, number one, the Warm Out variant.
Nice. Well, okay. I'm going to break the streak. It's not 3-3. mine's kind of a joke, but it's kind of serious too. Guardians of the Galaxy number 15, because you have both Quasar and Hercules on the same cover. It's only happened once before I could think of on Thor. But no, seriously, I think the new Guardians of the Galaxy team is a good team. It's got a lot of longtime Marvel heroes that we old people can appreciate, and it was just nice to see them on the cover of a book and being used in the current Marvel universe. So kind of a joke, kind of not a joke. All right, moving on. Your biggest buy, your biggest purchase, what did you lay down the ducats for this year, Richard?
Well, mine, this is also another easy category for me. John, this is back in January, I looked it up. John hit me up, said there was something going on an auction house that I needed to see.
I apologize, by the way.
I'm a huge Black Adam fan. And his first appearance in the Golden Age back in 1945 was on this auction house. And it was currently, the bid, I think, was $1,800. And I was totally in. So they got bidded up, and I ended up buying it for $3,500. That's really kind of the hello price, because by the time you got done with auction fees and taxes, it was $4,400 for this book, which was more than I wanted to spend. But, you know, it's one of those once in a lifetime kind of opportunities. I'm just never going to see this book again raw. So I got the book, had it, you know, pressed it quick and sent it into CGC. I still think the press could have been better. I really do.
What did it come back?
Came back as 3.5.
Yeah, well, I remember you were worried about pressing it because it had a staple issue, right?
Yeah, it had the staples were on the cusp of rusting, so I didn't want to put it in the moisture chamber.
Right.
They weren't rusty, but you could tell, you know, they were starting to get oxidized. So I was very cautious about pressing it too hard. So it's a 3.5, which, given the current market, puts the book someplace around $13,000-$14,000.
I mean, I don't know what you're complaining at $4,400.
That's just a bit, lot of money to come out of the pockets, you know. So yeah, it was my biggest purchase, and right now I think it's one of my top five books in my collection altogether.
Nice, congratulations, nice. Steven. I see yours in the notes, and I'm jealous.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily my highest dollar purchase, but I like the purchase the most, as far as, you know, what I thought value wise, and really my wheelhouse is white pages, really nice centering, high grade. Bronze, particularly books. And this one I picked it up for a good price. It was the Strange Tales 169, the 9.6 white pages. And I saw it on Instagram. It was actually listed on A1. You're familiar with them on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it was sitting there, and it was $2,200, and it was sitting there for a day. The last sale at that point was $3,400. On GPA. So and I think that the sale came in right as they posted it.
Wow.
So I thought it was kind of strange that it was just kind of sitting there, and I messaged them and I said, hey, is that still available? And they said, it sure is. I said, will you take $2,000 for it? They said yes, and that was the end of that. Fee-free payment, so no final value fees for me on that one, just $2,000 flat. And one just closed on auction about 3 weeks ago for $10,500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, and it was multiple bidders. So it seemed like a pretty legit sale, even though it looks like an outlier on GPA.
Well, while we have you, and this isn't on the list, but we have biggest purchase on this list, but you had a big sale that you should be proud of this year, too.
Oh, which one?
Marvel Chiller is number one.
Was that this year?
Was that this year? Yeah, that was this year. That was this year.
My goodness. Yeah, you're right, because it was right after WandaVision.
Well, tell everybody about that.
Yeah, as you can see, well, I don't think you can see it from this angle, but I have several copies of Marvel Chiller's number one hanging up there. And I got my hands on a 9.8 back in 2018 when I started doing research on WandaVision. Paid, I don't know, $300 for it. Right when WandaVision came out, I said, you know what? They showed Chthon. Let me go ahead and put this up for sale. I put it up for $2,800 with the best offer, and somebody didn't even make an offer on it and bought it instantly. Wow. So
that's how it's done. Good job. Congratulations.
Same situation absolutely. With the Peacemaker book, too. I think that was that also this year?
I sold mine last year.
Did you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I'm not sure. Yeah, you had a big Peacemaker sale too, first Peacemaker.
Yeah.
My biggest purchase this year was multiple copies of Yellow Claw number one. Had a little bit of a problem. I couldn't stop buying them. First of all, it was impossible to find one. And the minute I shook the tree, several fell out. And I actually had people message me privately that they were angry at me for buying them all. Sorry. and I did end up with a 6.0 that I was very happy with, and I think that was my biggest purchase of 2021.
You did catch and release though, didn't you, for some of the other ones?
Did, and one person that was miffed at me ended up buying one from me anyway. I was like, hey, you can buy one of the under copies if you want. I'm not holding on to them, you know. It's not like I'm trying to manipulate the market, VD. You know how we do. All right, Richard. Next category: your best find. What did you find? What did you pick up that you were?
Okay, you are an enabler. we talk. John and I talk every day, and it's usually about comic books. And he keeps an eye out on all the sites for me. There was a Marvel Superheroes number 20, one of my favorites, the Doctor Doom cover. A 9.6 came up. And it was one of those books you just don't see very often. There's only 11 9.6 on the census right now, three 9.8s. So this 9.6 came up. I immediately bought it, and it is by far one of my favorite books in my collection, regardless of when I purchase it. It's just a gorgeous book. It's nice to see a book. I have other copies of this book, and it's nice to see one that is, you know, near pristine as opposed to some of the other books that I have in the collection. But yeah,
I will leave you alone until I spot a 9.8.
If you find a 9.8 someplace in the price range that I can afford, I will buy that too.
All right, Stephen, your best find of 2021.
You know, I could talk about books, you know, that I paid a couple grand for and tripled in value over the year, and that's great and all, but I love finding dollar books or $2 books that are worth, you know, $300-$400 and stuff. So this actually happened very recently. My wife was on a trip to Ohio, and she just happened to be stopped at a random coffee shop where she was taking a break, and she knows I like comics. She's not into comics at all, so she has no idea what anything is, but she happened to be sitting at a table that had, you know, used comics sitting there, and she snapped a picture of it. And right in the middle of the photo, I see this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one, fourth print. And I said, what? And I zoomed in. I said, what's the price of that book? And she said, $2. I said, do me a favor and grab that book, please, and bring it home with you. So, I got it home, and it is absolutely beautiful. Maybe one spine tick. It's in the 9.4 range. The corners are very sharp. After a press, this is definitely getting a 9.4 and possibly a 9.6. So
yeah, I remember the Instagram post. I immediately asked, what coffee shop?
I just enjoy finding the $2 books that are worth something. So
the thrill of the hunt. Yeah,
a coffee shop with comics. My mind is racing with entrepreneurial ideas. My best find of 2021, and I can't believe it was this year, it seems so long ago, was my long lost personal comic book collection in Ohio. Mm-hmm. That happened in May of this year. And, you know, it was a lot of books that I had forgotten about. It was a lot of books that were sitting in long boxes for 30 years, so they're all kind of like bent over like this, and they all needed a press, and I've been running presses almost 24 hours a day since May. But you know, it was nice to find those. I kind of wish it hadn't been picked over as much as it was, but you know, that's life. All right, our next category, favorite Comic-Con. Comic-Cons came back this year. I have to say, despite all of the challenges, Comic Cons were sort of back in full force, including San Diego. And I don't want to steal your thunder, Richard, but go for it. What's your favorite con?
Yeah, easily it was the San Diego Comic Con. I flew out to California and visited John and his man Rafa, and we had a good time. We had a really good time going to the convention, and we found some good books, found some good deals, made some good contacts. So, and we saw some fans. It was great seeing people there at the show. We saw P.Comics there. He was there at the show. So there was a lot to do and see. And I was told that this was the easiest San Diego Comic-Con ever done. So, because it was the special edition. So it had a smaller crowd and, you know, less people in the venue. So it worked out well.
Steven, your favorite con?
Well, last year I got to go to C2E2 right before everything shut down. It was March of 2020, and it was by far one of the best experiences I've had in my life. I really, really had a blast. And this year I didn't get to experience anything like that. I went to some local things. The only one that I went to that was relatively large was the giant size mini con, and that was the Heroes version of the Heroes Con. But okay, the smaller version of that. Now, for the vendors, I'm sure that they would not agree with me about how good of a time it was. But I mean, you want to talk about, when I listened to your show talking about San Diego and having plenty of room to breathe and to browse. Well, I mean, these aisles were empty, and I got to dig, and I got to talk to my friends, and I even got recognized for being on Bronze and Modern Gods by one of your listeners. He came up to me and goes, hey, aren't you Minor Keys?
Wow, they didn't pelt you with rocks and garbage.
Yeah, you got away with your life.
It was a listener named Joel, and it was really a pleasure meeting him. And it was really, I just had a really good time, and I found some good books there. I dug some really nice things out of the bins, and of course, they were willing to make deals because they wanted to be able to pay for their booths. So,
excellent.
Yeah, jealous. We were talking about C2E2 kind of after the fact this year. Maybe that's something we'll attend next year.
Yeah, I will definitely be there next year in August.
Excellent. I'm going to have to go with my favorite con, same as Richard, San Diego Comic-Con Special Edition. We were spoiled rotten. And this is coming from someone who's been to every San Diego Comic-Con since 1991. Haven't missed a year, with the exception of the year that they did not have it in 2020. It was everything that it used to be, that everyone that used to go complains about now. You know, I wish there were more comic dealers. Here you go. I wish it wasn't as crowded and you can walk without getting your eye poked out by Hawkman's wings. Here you go. I wish it was easy to find a hotel right across from the convention center. There you go. It was everything that I've been hoping for and wanting from San Diego Comic-Con for at least the last 10, maybe 15 years. It will never happen like that again. So sorry, Richard, every experience is going to pale in comparison.
Yeah. You know, I've got tickets for next year if they, and I'm kind of nervous about it. Some of the horror stories you told me, it's sounds like a completely different experience.
Fun. It's just different. It's different. Mm-hmm. So get ready for a crowd. All right. Next category, favorite ongoing or limited comic series from 2021. Richard.
And my favorite series this year has got to be Nice House on the Lake. It's another James Tynion series, and he's hitting things out of the park recently. I mean, the quality of his writing is just amazing. So it's definitely, if you haven't read Nice House on the Lake, I'm not going to spoil the premise for you, but it's a very different kind of book, and I think you'll like it.
Excellent. I enjoy that one as well, and. Nice foreshadowing on James Tynion. But before we get to that, Stephen, I see yours. I don't know if it counts if it doesn't come out regularly.
I guess that's true. I almost picked the James Tynion because, like Richard said, everything he's doing, DC versus Vampires is awesome, and I am reading that. And I'm enjoying that. I'm going to have to go with Last Ronin. I don't know what it is, and as you get older, this is how I'm going to feel from now on. You guys can let me know. But if there is a
water when you said that.
There is a special feeling that I've been getting with nostalgia. Like in 2021 has really been a nostalgic year. But I mean, like, even with Spider-Man, no spoilers here, but with Spider-Man, you're watching that, it's all about nostalgia and about when I grew up and everything. And Turtles, the Last Ronin is hitting all the notes for me. It's tragic. It's sad. It's beautiful. I think it's well done. And I really do wish it was monthly so I could not have to go back and reread the last issue. But by the time the next one comes out, I'm going to have to give it to Last Ronin. I'm enjoying it.
That's a good pick. It really is. I enjoyed it early on. I haven't finished it yet, but it is a very poignant story.
I'm going to go back to the Tynion well for mine. Department of Truth. So timely, so in tune with what's really happening. I'm kind of concerned that it may not age well because it's so tied in to everything that's
right
around us right now. You know, they're supposed to be making a TV series out of it. By the time the TV series comes out, is it going to be dated, or are they going to have to update all the conspiracy theories? There are no shortage of them. So I think they have enough for seasons and seasons of Department of Truth, but very well done. The covers, everything.
Right. Absolutely. The covers are amazing. Just the level, the different kinds of covers. I've got, like, for example, postage stamp covers up there. There's, you know, it's just an amazing series.
Yes, for sure. All right, your favorite run that you finally completed this year, something you've been chasing for a long time, and you finally were able to fill in the missing pieces. Richard.
Yeah, my favorite run. I'm a big Ultimate Fallout 4, big Miles Morales fan.
Not what?
Yeah, who'd have thunk? Oh. I also have OCD, which meant that... So I have a collection. So I collected all of Ultimate Fallout. It's a six issue series. So I got issue 1 through 6. 4, of course, is the first appearance of Miles Morales. Well, so I got the first, you know, the standard run. Then I got the number 4 of the variant, which is the high dollar book of the whole set.
Right.
I ended up getting at the same time I got the rest of that run too, in as the variant covers, the 1 in 50s. So I got the standard run, the 1 in 50s, and then I got the convention. There's a special convention issue that I got, and then I got the second prints. And then the hardest one though was I wanted the newsstands. I got the newsstand of four when, you know, back last year,
yeah,
and we talked about that. But I wanted the rest of the newsstands. So over the course of the year, I've cherry picked when they show up, and they have been rare. One, two, three, five, and six of the newsstands, and that means that now I have a complete run of Ultimo Fallout 4, and there's nothing else to collect. That's kind of a sad thing. But
Steven, you want to see me make Richard go insane?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Watch. Are they all 9.8?
Oh, that's not going to happen. I could comfortably say that that's not going to happen. I will rest on my laurels with one of everyone. Not all of them are perfect. I do have some 9.8s in there. But the ones that aren't perfect.
Snap. That's all.
Oh, no. Trust me. I'm not that bad.
All right.
But yeah, it's a great run. I'm happy to have the full collection.
Steven, anything you were chasing this year that you wrapped up?
Well, you know, when you first asked me, I was like, no. When I was a kid, I got lucky and I collected my runs that I wanted to do, like ASM 1 through 300, X-Men 1 through 100. I did that when I was younger and I was lucky to grab those
nice,
real cheap and low grade when I was a kid, shelling out, you know, 30 bucks a copy for random, you know, low grade early number ASMs and stuff like that. But as you're sitting here talking, I did remember something that I did complete. I finally got the 9.8 Legend of the Blue Marvel number 5.
Oh wow.
It was the only one I was missing. I have 1 through 4 and 9.8, and nice. I hit a 9.6 on a raw that I found out in the wild, and I have that one, but I finally went ahead and secured it. A 9.8 number 5, which was not easy.
Great, congratulations. Yeah, that's a tough book to find.
Richard will get that 9.6 off you. my completed run, no big deal, but it's just something I just have been putting off and putting off. And that was my Champions run, my OG Champions run,
right,
through 17 from the 70s. I just never had really high grade copies. I would always just have, you know, mid grade fillers. And I'm like, I have a full run Champions, I'm fine. But this year I kind of buckled down and said, all right, let's get some real high. None of them are slabbed except for issue one. But I do think I have a very nice high grade run of Champions now. And I'm probably one of five people worldwide. I'm happy about that. Next year, the Invaders. I'm going to finally finish my Invaders run, a book that I loved when I was a kid. I didn't care it took place in World War II. It was Cap, Namor, and Human Torch in one book. Of course, it was the wrong Human Torch. Of course, it was Frank Robbins' art on the inside, but they had Jack Kirby covers. I was happy. So next year is all about the Invaders. All right, let's end on an up note. Your biggest regret of 2021. Richard, what did you miss out on that you look back and you're like, crap?
Oh, yeah. Every year it's something. Like last year, it was I missed out on Clone Wars number one, 9.8, because I didn't push hard enough. The person who had it for sale, I settled for a 9.6, and now I'm upset about that. The year before, it was a beautiful piece of artwork for Young Allies number 6, the Art Adams cover. Artwork was up for sale for $2,000, and I totally slept on it.
The Art Adams cover was for sale for $2,000, the original art.
The original cover?
The original cover on eBay, $2,000.
One of your favorite books?
One of my favorite books.
$2,000?
Yes, yes. Really? And I did this. I was like, I need to buy that. And by the time my brain cells actually realized that I needed to purchase it, it had already sold.
It wasn't counterfeit. It wasn't a recreation.
It looked real to me.
Oh my
God. I know.
Let me surprise you here because I have a purchase that I made this year. No, I'm sorry.
Richard, by the way, I haven't given you your Christmas gift.
Oh God, that would be awesome. This year it was. I browse a bunch of alternate sites, and you know, everybody browses the main sites. There was this one small site that was an auction house that sold comics on the side, sort of. And they had X-Men 101, CGC 9.6 white pages. It was gorgeous for $1,400. And I looked at that book for 2 weeks. I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it. And then one day I went to go back and look at it, and it was $2,400. So they had raised the price, and I think they raised it one more time. Right now that book is a $3,000 book. It's one of those things where, and you know, these instances I'm talking about, pull the trigger when the book is in front of you, because you may not have the opportunity in the future. So just bite the bullet and ask for forgiveness later.
All right, Stephen, your biggest regret of 2021.
You know, I could, like I said, I could sit here and name a bunch of things that I could have bought in January or February. And I wish I could have grabbed probably ASM1 graded, like a nice 3.0 or something.
Right.
But what I think that my biggest regret is not selling some of my big key books that are not my PC books, books that I bought and picked up and mm-hmm. wait for a nice time to sell, and not selling them May, June of this year.
Yeah.
Because I'm mm-hmm. sitting on them now, and honestly, almost everything has corrected. There's only been a few that have been pretty much bulletproof. But I would love to have the money right now to make some nice deals right now. Because yeah. Do I think they're all going to go back up? Yeah, I do. I really do. Maybe not to the highs that we saw earlier this year, but there are some deals to be had right now. And I could have released some of this stuff into the wild, sit on a pile of cash, and just go after some big keys I'd like to pick off right now. And unfortunately, my money's pretty much all tied up in things like, you know, Werewolf by Night 32 and a 9.6 and a Tomb of Dracula and a 9.6. And granted, I think there's a time and place that will come back around for those books.
Yes.
But I mean, let's look at. Actually, I forgot that some of you haven't seen Spider-Man, so I'll lay off on that. But it's not as guaranteed as it used to be. The wow. minute a show hits, the minute something hits, then it's just an instant jump. It's not, because people are already used to that cycle, and they're hitting that cycle 6 months before. So it's almost like the peak is keeps pushing back every month.
But maybe it's take a page from Richard's book. Try trading some mm-hmm. stuff. For the stuff that you want with other collectors like us, because mm-hmm. Rich was able to trade what was it, a Wolverine 181
for Hulk 181 for a Fantastic Four number 4.
There you go.
I got the book I wanted, he got the book he wanted, and you know, it was the best way of handling that transaction.
The only problem I have with that, I believe that, especially if you're the aggressor, if you're the person looking for something, you're going to have to pay a premium or give a little bit more value to get what you want to get. If you're the one approaching somebody, hey, you have a book that I want. I have a bunch of really nice books. But that person's like, well, I could sell this at this price. If I'm going to trade, you're going to have to add a little more.
Oh, mm-hmm. Remember my story of I had a bunch of first print Valiant early books. And I wanted an Avengers 4, and the dealer was like, I can't get rid of this Avengers 4. It's too expensive. Nobody wants this, but I can flip those Valiants real quick. And I traded Valiants for an Avengers 4.
I mean, that's when I was in diapers, John. We're talking about 2020.
Steven, it's a pleasure having you here.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
My biggest regret, besides having Steven on today, is, all right, I haven't told this story. I've been holding on this story since April. Okay, because I didn't want to give it away. I didn't want to give away my source. I didn't want to give away what happened, but I'm kind of plugged into estate sales. I get alerts, and there was an estate sale that came up in Southern California, right here where I live, deep Southern California, not San Diego, but South LA, that there was a storage unit that was going up for auction, and it was filled with long boxes. It was nothing but comic books in a storage unit. And I thought, I'm going to go, you know, I probably will lose. I'm not sure if they're doing the whole thing or if they're parceling it out, you know, box by box, but I should at least go. And it rained that day. It was a rainy Saturday. And the last thing I wanted to do after working all week long was get in my car, for people who are not from Southern California, rain is like Armageddon. You would think it was a blizzard that has destroyed the globe. A light sprinkle will cause a 20-minute drive to become a 2-hour and 20-minute drive. No exaggeration. People in Southern California listening right now are nodding, going, yes, John, we get it. So I stayed home. And then I saw someone that we know who will remain nameless was at the auction and got it. And I was like, expletive, because it was filled with Bronze Age books that were not cherry picked. I don't know how much he paid for it, but I have seen the sales from that account since. And I was like, well, crappy. So if you see something and you're slightly curious, don't let a little rain stop you, but people.
Well, John, I would have to say that I thought Richard's story was going to be the topper, and that takes the cake, man.
Regrets, I've had a few. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to one up Richard, but boy, I was so embarrassed that I haven't shared that story. I've been saving it for the year in review. So there you guys go. Come at me in the comments. Tell me what I'm a moron. Tell me how big of a moron I am. But Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm Minor Keys on Instagram. You know, sometimes I do live sales. A lot of times I just share PC books and finds. I did want to say, though, congratulations, guys, on your first, I guess, full year, I guess, right? This would be your first full year recording. So, I remember the early days, and I know you guys talk about how bad those shows were or whatever, and I still go back and listen to them. Mainly because I was one of the early guests and I like to listen to myself talk. But seriously, though, congratulations. It's such a pleasure to listen to you guys twice a week sometimes. And I hope you guys are going strong in 2022. So,
thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it. Absolutely. We're gonna send this to you here.
and a Howard Duck 17 second appearance of Dr. Bong.
Oh.
Definitely winning. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Well, that was nice to see Stephen again. It was funny to hear him talk about nostalgia and things from your childhood coming back. Mm-hmm. There's a rule about that. I believe it's called
the 25-year rule.
Ah, this is it for 1996. For those of you who are new to the show, 25-year rule is a segment where we go back 25 years to look at books that may hit that twinge of nostalgia for you. The 25-year rule means after 25 years, you start yearning for those younger days and buying stuff up that you had 25 years ago. And the last book to be featured for 1996 is a final issue, and it is Ghost Rider 2099, number 25. Did you even know there was a Ghost Rider 2099, Richard?
I knew there was a Ghost Rider 2099. I had no idea it ran for 25 issues.
It ran for 2 years and 1 month.
That's impressive.
The cover and art of this is by Ashley Wood, who would go on to draw some Spawn stuff for Todd McFarlane, kind of a name after his run on Ghost Rider 2099. Whatever happened to that Ashley Wood kid? He had some chops. Sales range from $8 to $25 raw on this book. It's all over the place. Some people charge a premium for it because it's the last issue, lower print run. Some people just want to get it out of their collection and get some cash in their pocket. The only recorded sale of a CGC 9.8 for this book was in September of this year for $327. Okay.
Wow. Wow.
So there is demand for this from someone somewhere. So if you are going through the dollar bins and you find a copy of Ghost Rider 2099, number 25, and it looks decent, you might want to pull it out and hand over a sawbuck. Is it a sawbuck?
Oh, boy. You're using those old-timey words, John. I'm not sure. Old-timey, actually. Two books and
shaving a haircut. All right, let's move on to our underrated books of the week. Richard, what do you have?
My underrated book. I think we've picked this one before.
We
picked it apart. I'm still just amazed at how affordable it is. It's Avengers Annual Number 10, the first appearance of Rogue. To me, you know, we've got a wait before we see the X-Men in the MCU. This is a long-term buy, in my opinion. We're probably talking about 5 years out before Rogue appears in the MCU title. But if you think about it, when it goes to the X-Men, you got the original team. Then you've got the quote unquote new team with Storm and Cyclops, and then you've got the team after that. You know, the next person would be Kitty Pryde, and then after Kitty would be Rogue,
yeah.
And then Gambit. And I see that Rogue and Gambit, like, you know, that pairing being something that the MCU could really take advantage of. So I think Rogue is going to be a really important part of a later portion of the MCU. And her first appearance is here in Avengers Annual number 10. Not only does she have an X-Men tie-in, but she also has a tie-in with Carol Danvers, who is the current Captain Marvel. And also with the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. You know, Rogue was started off as a villain who turned into a hero. So there's a lot of possible ways that they could use her in the storylines. So I think it's really a possible, you know, a strong possibility that we'll see something from her as a character. This book has just, you know, it's taken off in terms of sales. If you look at it or compare it to 2019 or 2020. 2020, it was the average was $717 for 9.8. The last 90 days is $1,300, $1,375 for the 90 days of this year. So it has gone up, but you can still buy decent copy mid-grade books of this for, you know, under $100 on eBay. It is not a difficult book to find. And I think that's where the real potential value is picking this thing up at a reasonable price, getting it pressed, getting it slabbed, and then putting it in your long box and just waiting. I think we are going to see Rogue as a character. She's just too pivotal to not have her in the X-Men.
I agree. I think the biggest handicap for this book, why it hasn't exploded like other X-Men keys, 129, 130 for a Dazzler, Gambit's first appearance in 266, is that cover. Yeah. Look at that cover. I love you, Al Milgrom, but that is a snooze fest of a cover. It's convoluted. It's confusing. It's got so many things going on. And if it had been a really original Michael Golden cover, because who did the interior with Rogue, you know, throwing Ms. Marvel over a bridge and the X-Men and Avengers helping or whatever, it would really change the fortunes of this book. That cover, let's just look at it for a second. Look at that.
it is hideous. Oh my. It is hideous. Lord. But I think that, you know, you see it as a negative. I see it as a positive. It keeps this book being affordable.
That way, sure.
You know, and when this book hits in terms of, you know, we hear, to me, this book hits when there is the first rumor of an X-Men at period. Not Rogue necessarily, just X-Men in general. As soon as comic book fans know that X-Men are going to be a part of the MCU, this is just connect the dots, and her and Gambit are almost guaranteed to be in there. They're almost as big as Wolverine when it comes to X-Men characters. So I think this book, you know, pick it up for 50, 100 bucks, 200 bucks. I just grabbed a 9.6 for 400 bucks.
There you go.
You know, pick it up. Put it away, and I think if you play it as a long-term purchase, you know, just don't be tempted to do anything with it until we hear about the X-Men showing up. I think it's going to be a good investment.
And it's not a tough book. No. I'm sure the census numbers bear this out, because again, I was there. This was solicited as an Avengers annual at the height of the X-Men buzz back then, written by Chris Claremont, drawn by Michael Golden. The X-Men are guest starring. The solicitation is like, this is a pivotal moment in the future of the X-Men and Ms. Marvel. And so dealers ordered tons of this book, and then it came with that cover, and it was non-returnable. So I think a lot of people got stuck with that cover. But, you know, we had Stephen from Minor Keys on earlier this year, where he was talking about, we had a long conversation about this book and how it picked up in the middle, almost of the middle of a story that we never actually got to read, because there were two issues of Ms. Marvel that were never published that came out years later in Marvel Superheroes. So that also threw people. It's like, wait, who is this rogue person? Why are we supposed to know who she is? It was a very confusing time. Oh, mm-hmm. The '80s. All right. My underrated book this week goes back to the '70s. It is one you might not know about if you're a Jack Kirby fan. So as a big Jack Kirby fan, I'm here to help educate people if I can. It is Our Fighting Forces number 151. This is the first Jack Kirby issue. Now, Jack moved over to DC in the early 70s to do New Gods, Mr. Miracle, his own line of books. Didn't quite work out. They all got canceled. Jack had a contract, had to fulfill the pages. They started giving him weird books like Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter, and Our Fighting Forces. Now, Kirby took over a book. He didn't like taking over other people's concepts. He kind of did it begrudgingly, but he did it in typical Jack Kirby fashion. He threw out all the ongoing subplots and started anew with the same characters that he did not create. Most Kirby fans overlook this run, which is sad because these are great war stories, very personal. He kind of gets into his own war experience and tells some stories. The art is, of course, amazing. Raw copies of this book are cheap, but it's really elusive in higher grades. I spent a long time trying to find a super high grade copy of this book. A 9.6 sold in August of this year for $110.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that seems really undervalued.
Right.
So Our Fighting Forces, Jack did it from 151 to, I think, 164. Really good run. Just beautiful war stories by Jack Kirby. Check it out if you have not.
So he wrote and drew?
He wrote, drew, and edited this
book. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the last title along with Commandy and OMAC that he worked on at DC before he went back to Marvel in 1975.
Awesome.
All right. That is going to wrap up 2021 for Bronze and Modern Gods. As always, we thank each and every one of you for sticking around with us all year long. We're looking forward to a bright, shiny new year.
And don't forget the live sale we're going to have on Friday.
Friday, New Year's Eve, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Bronze and Modern Gods Instagram. Follow us if you have not. Also, check us out at bronzeandmoderngods.com. Like this video, hit subscribe. We'll see you on Friday.
Everybody have a good day and be safe.